How do you deal with people who call you a hater or a hate monger for simply presenting God's truth? I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Last time we were talking about the issue of AIDS and how it has become an epidemic in society. And we talked about the origins of AIDS and the fact that gays, even then, did not want to face the responsibility for bringing it into America and spreading it throughout society. And of course, now it is to the point where drug addicts, bisexuals, and even heterosexuals are able to contract the disease because there's so much, unfortunately, immorality in society and people sleeping with this person and that person, and it's all over the place and it's really sad. But what do you deal with, or how do you deal with the truth of presenting that truth to people and then hearing in response to it that you are a hater? And I was talking about the fact that I was on one internet site where this subject came up, and it wasn't long as I joined into the discussion that I became labeled a hater simply because I said that, well, homosexuality, according to God's word, is wrong. Now, there were a few individuals who said they were Christians, but when it came time to stating what God said about homosexuality, their responses were something like, well, you know, God loves everybody. So it was a misdirection. There's nothing untrue about the fact that God loves everyone. That's true. But that's really begging the question, isn't it? The truth is that they didn't want to say that homosexuality is wrong. They didn't want to say they believed it was wrong because they didn't want to be on the receiving end of a labeling like, you're a hater. Well, I decided in this forum, against my better judgment, to offer my two cents, which I did. And essentially, it was along the lines that homosexuality is wrong. It goes against societal norms. But more important, it is wrong simply because God says it's wrong. Well, now, as you can imagine, that didn't go over any better with most people than the previous comments I had made. And immediately, two people began bombarding anything I posted with this statement: take your hate and go somewhere else, period. That was it. And immediately the problem became me, according to them. So my efforts turned into attempting to explain that I was not filled with hate toward anyone. It didn't matter. They had latched on to what they felt was a good thing, and they were willing to wield it like a proverbial club, beating me over the head with it until I apparently yelled uncle or left. I didn't yell anything, actually. I simply continued to post, and fully realizing that my posts were not going to make any difference, but I still wanted to get the truth out there. And I tried a number of tacks. Like, for instance, I asked, if I say prostitution is wrong, am I directing hatred toward the prostitute? If I say that lying is wrong, I'm not hating the liar. If I say that stealing is wrong, I'm not spewing animosity toward the thief. In the same way, if I say homosexuality is wrong, there is not one iota of hateful sentiment in what I just said. But see, that doesn't matter. And I knew it wouldn't matter. The only reason I said it was because it needed to be said, and because I was certainly not going to leave with my tail tucked between my legs. Again, with immediacy, comments like, you're a hater, and take your hate somewhere else, filled the board. Usually by the same few people. Now, of course, one of the reasons they did this was to cause my posts to go lower and lower until they went to the next page, where they would not be so easily seen. The other reason they did this was simply an attempt to make me cower, hoping to stop me from any further posting. And they also hoped that this would serve as a peremptory strike in case others had thoughts about agreeing with me. The one Christian who had piped up before with God loves everyone did actually post something, but it was nothing that would darken the cloud over his head. His comment was actually directed to me. When you post, you should do what I do so that you do not offend people. Don't say homosexuality is wrong. Talk about how much God loves people, unquote. But, you know, sin is sin, and it needs to be called that. Jesus told people to stop sinning. He told the woman at the well, stop sinning. Go and sin no more. He told the man in Bethesda, I believe it's John 5, he said, or John 7, he said, look, I will heal you, and you are healed now. This was the paralytic who couldn't get to the pool of Siloam. But he said, if you don't stop sinning, something worse may happen to you. So in both of those instances, Jesus talked to these people and reminded them of the fact that they had sinned. They had broken God's laws. They had done things that were simply wrong. And it was their sin that got them in those situations. So while the individual at the forum made himself feel better because others immediately gave him an electronic pat on the back, the truth of the matter is that he was merely seeking the accolades of other people. He apparently did not care whether or not, in this particular case, homosexuality was wrong. What he cared about was what people thought of him. And he certainly got in return what he played for by posting comments that would offend no one. However, by not officially taking a stand, he was seen as siding with those who were pushing for the overturn of Proposition 8. He was telling them that he was not going to stand in their way because God loved everybody. And one of the last posts I made on that particular forum explained my position again, verifying that if someone says prostitution or stealing or lying or driving without a license or cheating, going over the speed limit, all those things and more, if someone says those things are wrong, they're not making those statements based on anger or angst or hatred. They're merely repeating, in most cases, the law that oversees the actions of people in society. Since it's perfectly fine for someone to voice their opinion that prostitution is morally wrong, even where it is lawfully legal, like Nevada, that's their opinion, and they have a right to voice it. I further wrote that when I make the statement that homosexuality is wrong, I say it the same way as I say those other statements. As soon as I make that statement about homosexuality, though, I am seen as a hater. And this, of course, makes absolutely no sense, and it deprives me of my right of freedom of speech. It also impinges on my religious beliefs. However, more than that, the charge that I am a hater is an effort by the opponents of Proposition 8, way back when, to silence me. And even though they most would see the hypocrisy in that label, when it is only used against those who speak out against homosexuality, it seems justified because homosexuals will say they were born that way. That's the way God made them. That's not a choice they made. Well, the reality to me is that the truth in this case is not what society deems to be truth. And by the way, regarding the idea that they were made that way, their scientists have not been able to discover the gene that triggers homosexuality. So if it's an innate situation from the time of birth, science hasn't been able to prove it. The truth, though, is what God deems to be the truth. And in fact, that's always the case, or at least it should be. Christians need to continually understand the difference between what society says is truth and what God says is truth. Failing to do so means compromising biblical principles for the world's principles. And that never makes God happy. It never brings him glory. One of the very interesting things that has now come out of this entire issue of same-sex unions is that we now know for certain that the homosexual community will not give up their efforts to overturn what is believed by the majority to be a morally upheld law. The homosexual community has stated that they will never give up the fight, and that's why it's before the Supreme Court. They continue to boycott businesses who donated in favor of Prop 8. Some even go so far as to make threatening phone calls to the owners of these businesses. They continue to parade around cities decrying the alleged inhumanity of Proposition 8. And they continue to spew their vitriolic rhetoric at those in favor of Proposition 8. They don't really care whether someone is listening or not. They simply want people to know that they exist and will show no signs of stopping their assault on what they believe to be an immoral law, even if that means shutting down, silencing the opposition. As long as they remain within the confines of the law and at least have some have at least attempted to either circumvent the law or break it altogether, they're perfectly justified in trying to bring their opinion to fruition. However, if the shoe was on the other foot and Proposition 8 had been defeated, no amount of sarcasm, impatience, and vitriol would have been spared for those who took up the same battle cry to overturn Prop 8's defeat. So in the end, what are we left with here? As Christians, what should our response to the gay community be and society as a whole? Well, we're left with the fact that a type of persecution is ramping up against those who desire to uphold God's word. People who are willing to risk being called hate mongers stand up to be counted when push comes to shove. They are certainly not worrying about being counted by the people of this world. Their concern is what God thinks of us and them. That should be the Christian's concern, shouldn't it? Well, it's never good to speak an opinion in anger. It's always good to come out against something that is diametrically opposed to God's world. This world still belongs to God, even though it is Satan's kingdom. And Satan is allowed to do what he wants to do as far as God allows him to do that, to bring his goals to fruition. But you know what? God is the rightful owner of this planet and all that he has created. And while it does not look like that right now, there will come a day when he will take it back. It's clear from Scripture that homosexuality is wrong, that it's aberrant. All one has to do is search the Scripture to find out that it was at one point considered to be an especially terrible sin. Genesis 19, 6 through 7, 24 through 28, 2 Peter 2, 6. In Genesis 19, Lot was so nervous about what the men outside his door wanted to do to his two visitors, who were angels sent by God, that he offered his virginal daughters for these men to do what they wanted to do. And guess what? The men of the city refused Lot and his offer. I recall having a conversation with a person who considered himself to be a Christian, but he was very liberal in his ideas about Christianity. We were discussing this very issue related to Sodom and Gomorrah, and my friend stated that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was not homosexuality, but instead it was, if you're ready for this, a lack of hospitality. So apparently I'm to believe that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because they were not friendly enough. They were not hospitable enough. The sad part is that my friend actually believed this in spite of the wording in the text. Because the original Hebrew word employed in the text, yada, Y-A-D-A, was used, it can connote knowing as in getting to know someone, or knowing as in having sexual relations with someone. Now, of course, the real difficulty with this position is that if the actual reason for Sodom's destruction had to do with a lack of hospitality, then the oneness must fall really on God himself for destroying two cities. For that reason, it could then be reasonably asked, why didn't God destroy many other cities that were far less hospitable? However, Lot's reaction of determining to not allow the men of the city to do such a wicked act cannot possibly allude to the fact that they had not had the chance to be hospitable to the strangers. To even suggest that this is the reason is ridiculous on those two counts alone. You know, we nod, smile, laugh, or smirk when we recall Jerry Falwell's words to the effect that God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. But in point of fact, this is absolutely true and cannot be denied. It is very obvious that God had a set standard for humanity, and that standard was one of a heterosexual nature, not homosexual. So, Christian, we need to just simply resist the lies of the enemy. We need to be willing to stand up for God. Well, that's our show. Thank you for joining me. Till next time, may God open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in
Him. You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.